Well, hello, hello, hello,
and welcome to Sisters You Have Value podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tolliver, and I'm super excited to be here with you today. Happy Friday, happy Friday. This podcast was created for women because we believe in the power of sisterhood and unity, and we strive to build a community where women can share their passions, learn from each other's experiences, and support each other on their journey. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for tuning in, and we pray you'll come back for more. Please give us a like, share, and follow. Leave us a comment. Tell a friend. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for being on this awesome journey with us, and we pray you continue to come back. All right, grab your coffee, tea, drink, whatever it is, and grab a seat, and let's get into it. Today, won't be long, but I just kind of wanted to talk to you. Some things stemmed out of the news the other day, and just some things that's going on around here in the city that I wanted to talk a little bit about. And it still pertains to us as mothers, motherhood, fatherhood, and things like that. And the children are our future. So we have to understand that. Why I keep honing in on this is not so much relational right now, more so than the urgent cry from what's going on out there in the city and our streets and things like that, that we have to be so cognizant of. And we have to get it together in our mind that we are failing the children at some juncture if we don't do our parenting part on that. So I'm gonna skip. I printed one out, but I'm gonna kind of skip that one for another time. But 13-year-old Pennsylvania girl charged with her mom's murder after argument. So I want to read just a little smidge of it about this 13-year-old girl was accused of killing her mom following a dispute over the cell phone. She was arrested in Pennsylvania. So it goes that when the officers arrived on scene, they found a 44-year-old woman with apparent wounds to her torso and her head. They also found another person with stab wounds and a 13-year-old who was detained. The child was charged as an adult, y'all. This 13-year-old girl is going to be charged as an adult and incarcerated. Let that marinate. Let that sink in. She faces criminal homicide and aggravated assault charges. And the police didn't respond immediately or anything like that in this case. But the young girl did say, "I'm the reason my mom is dead." While in custody, she said, "I don't have my phone because my mom took it before our fight. And I'm the reason my mom is dead." And they said they pronounced the mother dead at the scene. But also there was reportedly an 11-year-old little boy in the home who was also found with stab wounds, but he's expected to survive. This is her little brother. She threw the knife she used to stab her mother towards the neighbor's home. And they found, but what was strange for me, there's an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old in the house, but it says investigators say they found padlocks on the kitchen cabinets and drawers in the home, the outlet reported. A drawer used to store cutlery appeared to be missing, and its padlock was found on the ground. So I'm a little bit kind of confused on why the cabinets are locked in the house. I don't know what's going on, and I don't pretend to know. A little disturbing that you have to put locks on stuff in the house in the first place. But I wanted to kind of talk a minute because it all goes back and it resonates back to everything that we're talking about. And we have been talking about since the inception of this podcast a year ago. And that's women, and that's mothers, and that's fathers. Even though the podcast is for women, we don't do it by ourselves. We don't do it alone. Every female in the world is not a single mom. Let's not get that twisted either. So, but it's disheartening and it's very concerning to see that a 13-year-old gets so angry at her mother regarding a cell phone that you would literally stab her to death and your brother. And before this, I know everybody has seen the little viral video that had gone out. I don't know if it was on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever it was. There was an 11-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy, I believe, who had done the same thing. And but he didn't kill his mom. But baby, when I tell you he tore that apartment up, he ripped through that apartment. The toilet, hell, the toilet seat was half standing. The whole toilet itself, it had a half a toilet. The kitchen counters had half a counter. Now, mind you me, she lives in an apartment. And I think I talked about this last week or so, but she lives in an apartment. So now this mother, I'm crying, talking about what I'm going to do. They'd been zipping him up. One, for me, you'd been zipping his little tail up. Or in critical condition somewhere on a ventilator after I got through beating the brakes off of him as this little girl. But, and I say all that to say, at these junctures, it's not a laughing matter, because how do they get this far? At 12, 13, 11, 12, 13, and they're talking back, how did they get there? How did they arrive there till they felt so comfortable and so, you know, bolden to even challenge you to do the things they do? What did we do to them when they were one? What did we do to them when they were two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or ten? What did we do? Did we put a phone in front of them? Did we put an iPad in front of them? Did we just allow them to do whatever they wanted as long as they were out of our hairs? There's a disconnect somewhere. And that's the thing. But then I also have to caveat that with, because we're so trauma-based, because we have been so beaten down, trodden, so depressive and suicidal, and we have our own issues in life going, we really don't need children at that juncture. But for the ones that that have the children so you can have housing, you're trifling anyway. But these children, and if you saw what the little young girl had on, this 13-year-old had on some queer than way out to the clubs. I mean, girl, that bodysuit she had on would have never came out my house. It would have never came out my house. So again, I say all that to say that I don't waste my time. I don't spend my Fridays just sitting here whistling Dixie to hear myself talk or to go listen to a podcast after. Y'all, we have a state of emergency. This is alarming that these children, they are your future. What will this world become if we don't get a handle on it? Now, on the other side of that, you want to put me in jail for beating them. But the Bible says that if it spared a rod, you spoiled a child. And then that these children will embarrass us. That's also in there. But it says if you beat them, they won't die. I got beat. I ain't die. I'm still here. She lucky she got up out of here, because I have her in jail too. But, you know, it's one of those things that we sometimes think we're doing a disservice to our kids when we had a rough life and I don't want my kids to go through that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We're all victims of that to a point. But it's those things that made us. It's that lifestyle that taught us to appreciate the value of a thing. And when you don't understand something's value, abuse is inevitable. And so when you think it's cute for her to snap and talk back, and y'all let them curse on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, these are the results thereof of that's what we get when it comes into that. Now, don't get me wrong. Some children and some of our children just have issues. And that's okay too. There are some things that needs to be treated with meds and some things, but then there are some of us who just let them run wild like some banshees around here, and we done lost our mind because we so busy enamored by Pookie and Ray Ray, and we all up in his face, and he got Kwee Kwee, BB, CC, and he all down the street with everybody else, but you dying to have him in your house on your couch in your bed in front of your kids. You have to really stop and take a look that we know these things are trauma-based. It has to be, what you call it, y'all? Generational. It has to be ancestral. Something caused these problems, and somewhere along the line, we didn't get fixed. Now, I do know back in my time, I'm over 50, of course, that treatment what you call it, going to a psychiatrist and things like that was a taboo to black people. We didn't need help. And we weren't going to a white person for help. Then when you get black counterparts, you don't want them in your business. Make that make sense. I ain't going to her because my sister dad is twice removed from my brother uncle side. Know her and she messy. And all she gonna do is tell my business. Y'all silly. So you don't want to go to the white people because you got a disdain and hate for them. You don't want to go to the black folks because you believe they messy. While at the same time, you got PTSD out the world and CPTSD out of the world. And you're trying to self-regulate and trying to fix yourself. And you can't do it because you don't know how. Hell, because had you known how, you'd be fixed now. And a lot of it, again, stems from what we learn out here in the world, what we see on Facebook, social media, and things like that. Y'all, what it's kind of like what they say, you are what you eat. What we do becomes a part of us. What you put your time to and your attention to becomes a part of you. And what you don't realize is even with your children, you put them into this world of social media and they begin to emulate and they want this lifestyle and they begin to covet. They begin to want things. They begin to think they're entitled. Then some of them gonna feel disheartened and sad because they don't have it. Now you got a child that's built up in this dysfunction where they don't think they're good enough. Then you have another child who thinks they are the bomb.com because you lavish them with everything, and then they look down on the other child. And so it becomes a vicious cycle of, you know, what we got today. And so when I looked at that and I saw that child in Pennsylvania, my heart go out to the mother, you know, God bless her soul, you know, but also to this child, that how did she get here? And at what point do you arrive that their cell phone is your life and that's your lifeline and that you can't do without a cell phone? Had this child been punished before? Had this child ever had this phone taken? What was so significant about that phone at that moment that caused this child to get in such a fit and a rage? And two, just by the sheer fact that they say they got into an argument, me and a 12-year-old would never argue. You can't. Me and a 12-year-old, now what I can do is tear your throat out. Y'all can report me if you want to. My kid, 3726, and they made it. But my thing is, they still alive. But did I beat them? I did. Did I put these hands on them? That belt did. Now, I've never, even when my children were growing up, they didn't require that, you know, because my children, my son used to ask my daughter, "Are you scared of mama?" And she said, "No, what do you mean?" He said, "I am." And so you should be. So when you put the fear of God in them, you don't have to do that. But when you breed these children with a level of respect for not saying, "Hey, what's up? What's up? Yeah, what's up?" No, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. How you doing when you come into a room? When you go out or when grown folks are in a room, you go your butt in another room. But your kid can quote, tell you everything you said. She can bear, mama, you say you ain't like her. You know, these children will have you in a whole grown folk fight because they in your business. And then you talk loud. You're just as loud and ghetto as they come. Talking to your girlfriends, you just cussing. Y'all get on my nerves on social media with all this rap music, all this stuff in the background. Y'all got babies in these houses, and y'all sitting here half naked, gapped open, trying to get a like, trying to get a bean, trying to get whatever you can get. Send me some. You got your Cash App showing just like you're an online prostitute. I said it. There it is. You like an online prostitute. Get your big nasty tail up and go somewhere and go to work. And a real man don't want to see all your goodies. He don't want to see your hoo-ha. Because if he see it, everybody else see it. And it ain't nothing for him to be proud about. Just because you went to the gym and worked out and lost a little weight and now you got a little muscles, stop showing everything you got. Y'all go get them damn pants and y'all pull them up so tight, y'all leave the gym with a yeast infection. It's a shame how insecure and how thrown off y'all are. All that shows is a person that's screaming for attention and you think it's cute. It's not cute. Leave some up to chance. If you want to do that, carry your half naked tail around your house and do that. But all that stench walking up there with them bad smelling snooches, because you up in that gym getting all sweaty, musty, and funky. And then when a man come by and look at you, y'all got the audacity. I'm going to come with this. It's going to be a whole other podcast, but it's going to be a video. Y'all got the audacity to roll your eyes at him. Well, stop showing him. Well, stop putting yourself on display like you're a piece of meat. And you're a cheap piece of meat, too. Let me just tell you. Because real quality stuff don't go on sale. It doesn't put itself on sale. You'll never find us window shopping. I'm just saying. I'm like Kevin Samuels. High-value women don't do that. But you do. Quick. Keep going. But my thing is the children, y'all. It is so important. It's so paramount. It's so as mothers to be able to have a relationship with your children, but also be a mother. There's a line that you don't cross. There are certain things that you don't do. There's ways that you raise these children up in the admonition of the Lord. And we are missing so badly that spiritual element. We are missing so badly what thus saith the Lord. We are missing so badly getting these children up. I ain't going to church. You know this now. I forgot. Half of y'all done got woke. Y'all so woke, y'all sleepwalking. Y'all done got woke, and I ain't going to no building. Somebody just said that, and I ain't going to no brick and mortar. Bible said, do not forsake the ecclesia. I get it. I understand some of y'all. Y'all got church hurt. But Pastor Tom hurt y'all. Not every other pastor. Every other pastor ain't riding around here in these Rolls Royces and Benzes and things like that. But that's between you and God, because you are absolutely right. I hear you talking to me already. It's a relationship, and it's not about the religion. And so whatever your relationship is with the Lord, bless you. And I pray well that I see you in heaven on the other side. But the thing about that is, because you're missing so many things and muddy of them gone. Because hell, now we 20 having grandkids. We in our 20s and we grandparents. But you have to be cognizant, y'all. We have to take stock. We have to take this so serious. You have to, at some juncture, it's easy to do nothing. It's easy to just sit idly by and look, turn your head, talk about. It's easy. But sometimes you're the blessing that somebody else needs. Your testimony is somebody else's message to get them through. The things that you've gone through, the things that you've endured, being a great mother, being that great person for that cause, being that volunteer somewhere to help these children along the way so that they can know somebody else made it, that they can know somebody care about. You don't know the impact you can make just to one person by saying, Lord, let me change. And guess what? Your child will be okay. Just because everybody else doing it, don't come to my house telling me what everybody else doing. Because you don't live with everybody else. Now you can ask my child that. Oh Lord, she's still to this day, 37 years later, talking about how she couldn't spend the night at nobody's house. Never. Not never. Till she got probably in the 11th grade. Did. And didn't. I don't know what's going on in your house. I don't know who your mom and them got up in that house. I don't know what Pook and Ray Ray do. I don't know if they like little girls. I don't know if they like little boys. But I do know what they won't be liking is mine. So mine would never have the pleasure of being in somebody's house. So no, but all the little girls can come to my house. I know what goes on in my house. And so she had a lot of slumber parties with them little heifers. She had a lot of she had a lot of pizza parties. And that's okay. Because guess what? I knew where mine was. And like my daddy used to say, that's that other man problem. But he used to say the girl was his problem. She my problem. I got to deal with that. And then I would have to live with something if something happened to her that I allowed on my watch. You know what I mean? Not on my watch. So, y'all, we have to really get a hold of this. We got to really, really, y'all, we got to come together. We got to do some things. The Bible says two are better than one. It brings a better return every time. I'm here. I can do my part. But man, it takes a village to raise children. But it also takes us to raise us ourselves up as women. To be women. To know that you're valued beyond measure. To know that you're more than your circumstances. You're more than what you went through in your life. You are more than that. You have to get up and stop being lazy and do the work. Nothing comes easy. Nothing. If it's easy, it ain't worth having. You know, there's a choice. You know how they say, people say it costs to eat healthy. It does. It also costs not to. Tell me what that blood pressure medicine doing. What that diabetic medicine doing. Oh, I forgot some of y'all on Medicare, Medicaid, whatever you call that mess when you're on the housing and stuff like that. Did you get it through your kids? How long do you think the kids You think they're going to be 10, 12 forever? Then what your tail going to do? You ought to be ashamed of yourself because you're highly intelligent. You're probably just as creative as the day long. Some of y'all sit in the house and do hair all day, so you have hidden talents where you can get up and do something and get your butt out there and be a great pillar to society, but raise up these children to be children, especially these daughters. It's unsettling that a 13-year-old is going to be tried as an adult. Now, I'm not disparaging anything. Don't get it twisted that I'm not minimizing that her mother is deceased. But what I am talking about is trying a 13-year-old as an adult. They don't have the capacity. I don't care what you say. You're just not that astute at 13. Now, some of them that are women of the night, y'all might be street, but you still ain't got a book of bat shit sense to know the difference between right and wrong on something. Now, some may have been forced to go. Don't come for me. The cognitive ability of you tells me otherwise. That you just don't know. Hell, you're still trying to find your way. Some 13-year-olds are still playing with dolls in a regular household, you know. But notwithstanding, you're going to put this child amongst women, adults, who she look at as mothers. Now think of what will happen to this child in a prison. Think of what's going to happen to this child. Now, I don't know what life is for a 13-year-old. I don't know what charges would be brought to this child, but I do know whatever it is, it won't bring that healing. It won't bring that. That child needs help. That child needs something other than that to have. You get what I'm saying? Jail is not for reformation. Jail does not reform. Now, am I saying, well, Kim, what you're saying, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth now. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, based off the circumstances, how did she get here? But as trying a 13-year-old as an adult, my God, oh, that we have a little bit of mercy. Does she need to stand for that? Absolutely. But things like this that we see going forward, we take these examples. What do we do for the rest of them? Let's get into what I'm really trying to say. Not so much as this child. This has happened. We can't take it back. But what do we do going forward? How do we reach them? How do we reach into these households when, you know, it's kind of like what we do when we talk about the mayors of the cities and the towns. The mayor ain't doing that. Well, it ain't the mayor that was in that house. When that child and her mother got into it, it wasn't the chief of police that was sitting in that house. Stop thinking one individual is some kind of magic Santa and can blink his eyes and make everything okay. Stop putting the blame where it doesn't belong and put it in your house where it does belong. What the hell have you been doing for 13 years? Where have you been? Who's raising them? How many times she's sitting in front of that phone that she can't get? How many times you got to slap her to get out of the bed in the morning because she done been on that phone all night and not getting enough rest? What those grades looking like in school? Let's just be real, because that breeds a whole lot of other stuff. And I've seen some parents that, well, they need to get that homework. They need to get their homework. Hell, half of y'all can't do Common Core. Half of y'all can't even help your child because you... I got one that I know for sure can't even read, and her son was up reading her. She said a word wrong, and the child 10, and he corrected. Make that Leah. And you over 30. And your child can spell, then you can, and you didn't finish school. Make that Leah. I used to tell people, don't let your son beat you out of school. And he did. My gosh. It's disheartening, y'all. It's unsettling, y'all. I don't know if you look at the news or you just, you know, that the Bible said in the last days this world will wax cold and men will be lovers of men. I guess you're so loving yourselves that you are missing the things around you. Oh, I'm sorry. It ain't happening in your house, so it don't really affect you until it come knocking on your door. What a sad, piss-poor way to live. You got to, it's what you do in the dash. It's what we do in between. What, whose lives did we touch? What impact did we do? Did I make your life better because your way I came? Did I do something to give you something? Did I help you along the way? Did I make you smile? Lord, you know, the people that commit suicide, I'm going to do a whole thing on suicide. I'll do a whole segment on that. I'm trained in suicide assist. But when you watch the video of those that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, which is one of the most popular places that people go to kill themselves, one of the patrons, I can't remember if it was a male or female, said that when they were on the way to kill themselves and they were walking, they said, if somebody would just speak to me today, just to say hello. And they get on their bus. Now, these are the ones that actually survived it. They jump, but these are survivors who are actually glad they survived too. But, you know, when I wake up, Lord, I'm expecting great things to happen to me today. Lord, I'm expecting great things to happen through me today. Lord, there's favor ahead of me today. But Lord, if there's anybody I can encourage, anyone I can share with, anyone I can show love to, Lord, lead them to me. That's my prayer. And Lord, give me a word in season for them that it can go well with them. Not my will, but your will. So see, sometimes we get so busy, we so caught up, we worried about what we got going, we worried about what we got to do, that we lose sight of what we're here for. You're here to help. You're here to lead. You're here to teach. You're here to make somebody else's life better. Somebody made yours better. Somebody reached back and got you. And even if they didn't, like some of us that got it out the mud, it was because there was nobody there to reach for us, you know. Even though that's disheartening. But some of us live that, unfortunately. But then we overcome. We are overcomers in Christ. There's more with me than it is with you, I promise you every day. Lord, open their eyes that they can see, because it's more with me. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And I can promise you, you can never stop giving enough when it's helping somebody else. God will always richly bless you for being a blessing to somebody else's life. That little child at 13, to be tried as an adult, they had another one where there was a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old fighting in St. Louis. And the 16-year-old girl was hospitalized after the fight, and her parents want the child to be charged as an adult. Now, they 15 and 16. The 15-year-old is the one they want charged as an adult because the child's head suffered a head injury, and she spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital. Now, ironically, because they couldn't find a criminal history on this child, they had the audacity to say because she was a straight-A student and this young lady did so well in school that she was highly intelligent enough to know that her reaction or her actions could cause a head injury to this child. Now, I can't tell you in the middle of a fight that we're going to know what happened or what's going on, because if we both threw in those hands, now, if you happen to hit the concrete, you know, that's a different thing. A fight is a fight. My heart goes out even in a situation like this. And then they have since gotten 8 more people for their involvement in the fight. The video went viral and it showed a whole lot of more people to have witnessed it or been involved in it. You know, and like I said, it's things like this along the way, and it gets no better. I can pull story after story after story. But if you start to get the drift, my story is because what our lack thereof, we are failing our children as parents, as mothers, as fathers. We are failing our children because we're so busy about our business, not the father's business, but we're so busy about what I look like, getting my hair, my nails done, and you'll spend $500 on that weave and won't spend $2 on sitting your butt at a table to help your kid do the homework simply because you don't know how to do it. Don't care about them. And then you want to beat the brakes off the kid when the school call you because they behind in school. But I ain't see you not now time. Sit your tail down to help you. Oh, I forgot you didn't finish school. So you can't help them no way. You know, so we have to wake up. We have to get a clue. And those that are in Christ have to, y'all, we got to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by his name. So, you know, we got to humble ourselves. We got to seek his face. We got to pray. Then we'll hear from heaven. And he'll forgive these sins of ours and heal this land. Y'all have got to understand that even us, you know, it ain't the ones that ain't in Christ. We got to do our part, y'all, so that they can see the Christ in us, that they'll want to say, man, what they got going? I want what they got, you know? As Paul said, that I want to do, I don't. But those that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. It's a struggle because we die daily to Christ. And he's still working on me in some areas. I got some faults and fallacies. But the Bible said there's not one righteous, no, not one. But the difference is I strive for it and I can call out what I got going on and continue to ask God to heal me from those things and to move those things from me. that we can be better mothers, that we can be better friends, sisters, daughters, mentors, teachers, anything that these children need, y'all. This is a cry out for help. A child that can stab her mother over a cell phone. Y'all, that just did something to me. I don't know how you feel about it. But, you know, again, my heart goes out to that family. My heart goes out to that child. And even in that, you know, I don't even know if she understood at that time the validity of it, of what she's done. But it'll hit you when you're sitting in that jail cell without that same cell phone that you killed your mother over. Yep. You thought it was just taken for a day. Yeah, let that ride. And that's the unfortunate part. We learn to live with things or without things when we're forced into a situation that's harsher than in a 5x9, 6x9, whatever size cells those are, when you have the freedom of the world to go to school. So when they take them to jail, those kids no longer get schooling. I'm just thinking of that. Man, wow. Is she going to go to school? No. You want to try her? She's being tried as an adult. So as a grown person, you're going to sit in that cell every day. Now your mother is deceased. Who's going to put money on them books to feed you? Outside the mush-mosh that they got in there. Make that live, y'all. And you're going to have a 13-year-old child that's in that cell crying every night. But y'all trying her as an adult because this child has no basic understanding. I pray God, a lawyer, will take up this case and help this child get the necessary help and placement. I didn't say freedom, y'all. I said necessary help and placement that she needs to make it through this difficult time. And I certainly do not think she needs to be placed in cells with adults. I just don't. Did she commit a heinous act? She absolutely did. But that we have a little bit of mercy, Lord. See, I don't want to sit in a judgment seat. I want my seat to have mercy on it. There's a difference. Justice, we might get what we deserve. But, oh, if he have a little bit of mercy. Just a little bit of mercy. Until next Friday, y'all.